The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The following program is brought to you by Bob Rovner. It's time again for Senator Bob Rovner Talks to the Stars here on WWDB AM 860. Join Bob Rovner as he talks to interesting and exciting guests and keeps you up to date on news and political events nationally as well as right here in Philadelphia. And now, here's Senator Bob Rovner.
Good afternoon. This is Bob Rovner, and I'm pleased to host my radio show every Friday, 12 to 1 on WWDB 860 AM. This program can also be heard live by dialing 712-432-2862, as well as our station's website, wwdbam.com. All of our shows are archived, and you can access the website to listen to them. Our shows are also rebroadcast. This show today, you'll hear in a minute from my good friend Ellen Seisler, who's a judge on the Common Pleas Court, but she deserves to be on the Commonwealth Court. We're going to talk about that. I'm endorsing her today. You, everyone, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you can vote on November 7th, and you could all vote for Ellen Seisler, and you should because she's been a great judge in the last 10 years. And we had her on when she first ran 10 years ago, 2007, we endorsed her. And I'm going to tell you about her in a minute. But this show will be replayed on Sunday on 6:10 a.m., 11 o'clock. It'll be replayed Monday, 12 o'clock, on 860. On Tuesday, 1 o'clock, on Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and Thursday, 3 o'clock, all on WWDB. I'd like to thank my two sponsors, Ron Schwartz and Colonial Nissan. As you know, if you can't make a deal with Ron Schwartz, you can't make a deal with anyone. Colonial Nissan is Pennsylvania's number one volume dealer. Give Ron a call at 215-364-1100. My other sponsor is Walt Schwank of Wells Fargo Financial Advisors. Walt is my financial advisor. Give him a call at 856-988-2522. 856-988-2522. I also want to mention my law firm, Rovner, Allen, Rovner, Zimmerman, and Nash. They help to sponsor the show. You can give us a call anytime at 888-DIAL-LAW or 215-DIAL-LAW or 856 style law from New Jersey. So, Judge Ellen Seisler, I thank you. I wish you luck. And Judge Seisler is one of six candidates in the Democrat primary that won. She was the top person to win in the primary, and now she's running for the Republicans and Democrats to vote for in the primary. In May 16th, the Democrats nominated her. Now she's running for everyone. And she's been very qualified. She's been a consultant for the Philadelphia School District. She's been deputy director and then director of the Integrity and Accountability Office for the Philadelphia Police Department. She's been an assistant DA. She was an investigative reporter for CBS News. Her son, Danny Seisler, he's helping to be our campaign manager. And she went to a great law school. She graduated Temple Law School in 1986. So she served as assistant DA, and she specialized in the prosecution of crimes of domestic violence. So, Your Honor, thanks for being with us. Tell us about your campaign, why people should vote for you for Commonwealth Court, and tell us, Your Honor, what the Commonwealth Court does. Take it away, Ellen Seisler.
Okay, well, first of all, Senator, thank you very much for inviting me back, number one. Number two, on behalf of me and the other candidates and everybody that's running for judge, we all absolutely and sincerely appreciate this great public service that you do by inviting the judicial candidates on because, you know, most folks don't know who the judges that are running. Most people, it's a very low information race. It's very hard for judges to campaign because of all the restrictions on us. So, when people like you give us this opportunity to talk about the courts and how important the courts are, it's extraordinarily helpful to us and it's extraordinarily helpful to the public. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Your Honor. One of the best feelings I get is after the election, people say, I'm glad that person won. You know, I never knew them, but I heard them on your radio show, so I voted for them. So you're right. People usually don't know the candidates, and that's why I thank you. You were on in the primary, and we endorsed you, and I'm glad you won, and congrats. You didn't just win. You came out number one out of six, so that was great. And so take it away. Go ahead, Judge Seisler.
Well, you know, I consider you my good luck charm, really.
Thank
you. I have to get on your radio, because every time I'm on the radio with you, I win. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, there is an election November 7th, a general election, and the people in Pennsylvania have the opportunity to make a big difference in the judiciary, because there are seven openings at the statewide appellate level. I'm running for the Commonwealth Court, and I'll explain that in a minute. But there's one opening in the Supreme Court, four openings in the Superior Court, and two openings in the Commonwealth Court. And there's also votes for the retention of two Supreme Court justices, which I can talk about in a minute. But look, I think the Commonwealth Court, the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court, is an absolutely fascinating court, and it is the entire United States. This was a court that was created in 1968 when the Pennsylvania changed and rewrote its constitution, and this isn't a court that handles nothing but government issues. So any way that the government touches your life, or you have some issue with any level of government, if it's important enough to you, if it's serious enough, and it goes up through the appeal process, it could end up in the Commonwealth Court. So I'm just going to give you some examples. Well, first, let me just say it does have appellate. It has appellate jurisdiction of any county, local government agency issues, whether the bringing a suit against an individual, or the individual is bringing a suit against the county, issues or land use issues, or anything related to workers' rights or union issues or pension protection. I'm just giving you some examples that would be coming up from a local level. It also has original jurisdiction, meaning you can sue directly to the Commonwealth Court if you are bringing a lawsuit against the state government itself, whether it's the governor, the state legislature, or any of the state agencies. And to give you some very clear examples of how important and relevant this court is, for example, right now there was a major lawsuit filed in Pennsylvania by the League of Women Voters and other plaintiffs, which are challenging the constitutionality of and the issue of gerrymandering in Pennsylvania. So the Department of State and other entities, now this case, and this is happening at a federal level before the United States Supreme Court, but it's being challenged here in Pennsylvania. And it went right to the Commonwealth Court. The issue of how we fund our education system in Pennsylvania, the education funding lawsuit, that was filed directly to the Commonwealth Court. The Commonwealth Court did not take any argument on it, and that was appealed. It went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, after very careful and a thorough review, has now remanded it back to the Commonwealth Court for evidence and hearings and that sort of thing, and issues such as like voter identification. So this court will handle issues, government issues that can affect every Pennsylvanian on education, environment, workers' rights, pension protection, voters' rights, election law, any state land use, eminent domain, but it will also handle extremely personal issues. So, for example, if you're a person who's trying to save your driver's license, and you have a case against PennDOT, for example, and you don't feel that you've gotten the right hearing at the administrative level, the Common Pleas Court, a driver's license can be make or break someone's life and their ability to take care of their family. Workers' compensation, unemployment compensation, all the professional licenses, if you're a nurse or a social worker or any of those professional licenses, teachers, if you lose those, it could ultimately end up in the Commonwealth Court. So, as you can see, this is really a fascinating and unusual court. And all of my work in government and my 10 years on the bench, I think that it's a perfect fit for my experience.
It is. So that's a great explanation of the Commonwealth Court. So people should understand there's the Common Pleas Court, and that's in the, each county, each of the 67 counties have a Common Pleas Court. But then the appellate courts are the Commonwealth Court. And like you said, if someone doesn't get the right result that they wanted in the administrative courts, whether it be the Department of Transportation or Environmental Protection or in any department, the remedy is to go to Commonwealth Court. And so you can appeal from Common Pleas Court, you appeal to Superior Court. But if you want to appeal Commonwealth Court, I guess you have to go to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. Is that right?
Well, no. So as a trial judge in Philadelphia and the Superior Court, which is the other intermediate appellate court, if you are a litigant in one side or another in Pennsylvania and you have either a civil matter or criminal matter, family court matter or orphans court matter, you want to appeal what happened at the trial level, it would go to the Superior Court. The Superior Court would handle any appeals. But if you are appealing a government issue from a county, it would go to the Commonwealth Court. And or if you're suing again, if you have a litigation directly against the state government, the governor, the legislature, any state agency, you could file it directly to the Commonwealth Court. So we are, the Superior Court and the Commonwealth Court are what are called intermediate appellate judges, intermediate appellate courts in Pennsylvania. And, you know, the only court above it is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And it's really important that the voters and Pennsylvanians know who they're voting for these courts, because, A, number one, once you're elected, you're kind of pretty much there for your life. So, and it's also, in many respects, both of these courts, the Commonwealth and the Superior Court, they're pretty much the courts of last resort for people that have these issues, because the Supreme Court can pick and choose what they take. The Superior Court and the Commonwealth Court pretty much has to take any case that's appealed and that it has jurisdiction over. So it could be for many, many people on very, very important issues in their lives, their last opportunity for a hearing in the judicial system. So they're extremely important courts. And, you know, most voters just don't know how important the judiciary is in our democracy. That's what's kind of frustrating. Most of the states, as you know, Senator, they're appointed these judges in other states. Pennsylvanians have the privilege of actually getting to choose who they want to be these judges. And you're going to have a choice of picking eight appellate judges in
right.
November.
And I'm concerned about Commonwealth Court. You get two votes because two people will be elected. So I'm saying give Ellen Seisler one of your votes, and we're going to have Ellen on in a minute because I'm going to ask her what prepared her to become on Commonwealth Court, because she's very prepared. And in a few minutes after that, we're going to hear from Ruth Hurwitz, who's very active at Sherry Shamayim. She every year chairs this Meet the Candidates brunch that they have next Sunday. And Your Honor, Ellen Seisler, you've been getting around the Commonwealth, whether it's in Pittsburgh or at Dauphin County or any of the counties, and I give you a lot of credit. I'm sure for every day, every time you get invited one place, there's probably three other places you get invited. So I don't know if you get your going next Sunday, the 15th, to the men's club at Sherry Shamayim. But if you can't make...
Yeah, I don't know.
You may be on your schedule, but if you don't go, I'm going to have somebody. I'll ask Ruth to represent you there because she's going to. We're going to talk about that, and it's one of the forums that you know all the candidates go to.
I remember that forum.
Yeah, it's a good forum because people go and they get a nice breakfast and they meet the candidates, and it's a nice thing, and it's one of the largest congregations. In the city, right at Verea and Welsh Road. But, Your Honor, you're very prepared to be on the Commonwealth Court, so tell us what are some of the things that prepared you to be on the Commonwealth Court. Go ahead.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I have been a trial judge for the last 10 years in Philadelphia. I've been on the Court of Common Pleas, and again, I want to thank you, Senator, for supporting me back then. So I have done a trial work, and I've been a litigator. I'm very familiar with how the courts work. And in the Commonwealth Court, you will have trials and original jurisdiction. So it's very important to have that trial litigation experience. It will be absolutely essential to do a good job there. And for several years while I've been sitting on the Commonwealth Court, I had the privilege of an assignment where I actually sat in an appellate capacity. All of the appeals from Philadelphia's county's government agencies that went to the Common Pleas Court, I handled that for several years. So I know very clearly the jurisdiction and the work and the complexity of the Commonwealth Court because I handled appeals from the Zoning Board and the Tax, the Board of Revision of Taxes and the Pension Review Board and the Liquor Control Board and the just think of any pension board, human relations commission, any government agency in Philadelphia, even the parking authority. I mean, I can't come up with everything. But so I had to write a lot of opinions to the Commonwealth Court, and that's when I really became familiar with the jurisdiction and the importance of this court. And I said, this is absolutely fascinating. Now, there are 9 elected judges on this court, 9. And one a few senior judges, but there is nobody on that court elected who is from Philadelphia. There's a senior judge from Philadelphia, but I truly believe when you're dealing with all of these important governmental issues that you really need a voice that can understand, you know, from all parts of our state, who can understand the issues related to a large urban area if you're dealing with government issues. So I really believe that Philadelphia... Yeah, I mean, I'm going to represent and be a fair judge to every single litigant that comes into the court, of course, but I really think that it's important to have, the perspective from all parts of the state. And when they created this court, that was the understanding. There would be Republicans, Democrats, rural, suburban, urban, and it really hasn't been shaken out that way. So I think the folks in your listening area would benefit. Goodness gracious, my alarm keeps going off. Would benefit greatly from having a Philadelphia judge, a Philadelphia representative on that court of 9 elected judges. And by the way, all 9 judges weigh in on every decision. So it's very interesting. It functions almost like the Supreme Court, and the majority then they pick the judge of the majority to write the opinion.
All right, that's so great. Our guest is Ellen Seisler. She is a Common Pleas Court judge. Now, Ellen, she's unique because she's going to be in the ballot twice, and I don't want people to get confused.
Oh, yes.
Because, one, her 10 years are up, and after 10 years on the bench, you run yes, no automatically. She should win for Commonwealth Court, but because she's still in the Common Pleas Court, you could vote yes for Ellen Seisler for retention because she deserves it. She's done a great job on the Common Pleas Court. That's why she's so qualified to be on the Commonwealth Court. And then the main thing you have to do is vote for her twice because you have to vote for her for Commonwealth Court. Now, Judge Seisler, tell our listeners about the retention because there's probably about 6 or 7 or 8 judges. Like you said, there's a couple of the Supreme Court judges. I know we had Deborah Todd on a couple weeks ago, and we want her to get a yes vote, and Judge Saylor, who's the Chief Justice, we want him to get a yes vote. So tell us about the retention people, because I didn't ask any of the retention judges. I figure you could explain it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, yes, please. My name in Philadelphia will be on the ballot twice, which I certainly hope doesn't confuse anybody because you can vote for me twice. You can go to Commonwealth Court and then the retention vote will be along the bottom. It's just a simple yes-no vote. And there will be, you're right, Senator, there will be about 6 or 7 current Common Pleas Court judges. And I don't want you to think I'm biased or anything. They are my colleagues. I know them well. I've worked with them for 10 years and they are all absolutely and utterly qualified. They've served the citizens of Philadelphia really well. We've all been reviewed and recommended by the Philadelphia Bar Association, and this is a very independent review, and you're judged by the attorneys that appeared before you for the last 10 years. So I'm real proud to have gotten that recommendation and also the recommendation from both the Pennsylvania and the Philadelphia Bar for Commonwealth Court. So make sure you go down and vote yes for the retention, and make sure you find the retention votes for the for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, because I'm not sure where they're going to appear on different ballots. They're going to appear in all different places. But Justice Deborah Todd, who is a brilliant jurist, and I have come, I've admired her for years, and she's been a mentor of mine. She's worked with veterans and abused children and the elderly in creating programs to protect these individuals. You have to find her retention and Justice Saylor and make sure you find it and press the yes button. If she is retained, and I'm sure she will be, but we need you to get out and vote, she is in line to be the first female Chief Justice of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court in the history, in the 300-year history of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. So she is in the position to really create history for women.
So it's about time. Well, it's an idea whose time has come. Just like when I was in law school, when I graduated law school 49 years ago, there was only one woman in our class. But now at Temple, for instance, where you went, 54% of the classes are women. So now the women are a large part of the law and in every profession, but especially in the law. And I think it's a great thing. And so it's about time we had a Chief Justice who's a woman.
Yeah, and she's really amazing. So make sure, listeners, that you find that retention button for the Common Pleas Court judges in your county and Philadelphia, particularly Philadelphia, and for the Supreme Court. Every 10 years, we're up for a retention, a yes-no vote. But sometimes people don't go through the whole ballot and will ignore that. But you have to be sure you look for it on November 7th. So, it always just amazes me how, the citizens seem to forget that the judiciary it's the third branch of our democracy. It is a co-equal, independent branch of our government, an essential part of our democracy. It is the judiciary that ensures that our constitutional rights are protected, that the laws are properly followed, that there's no discrimination in the application of laws for everybody. So it is a really essential part of our democracy. And in Pennsylvania, again, the voters have the privilege of actually voting for their judges. So they should take full advantage of that privilege and get out there and vote, get to know them. It's very easy to get to know us. You can just look up, just look up on the website and say, who is in the general election in Pennsylvania, November 7th? You'll get a list of names. Every one of us have websites, we have Facebook pages, you can see who has endorsed us, and you can get a clear sense of who we are as people and what we stand for and what our experience has been. So, with the internet, it doesn't have to be a low information race. And, Senator, I'm really proud of the endorsements I've gotten statewide. I've gotten pretty much every labor organization. I've gotten the teachers, the police, the firefighters, the nurses, the social workers. I've the state troopers, the LGBT community, the women's groups. So I'm really, they interview you, they try to determine your experience and your judicial temperament, and if they think you're going to be a fair and thorough and unbiased judge. So you don't make any promises to these people. You just tell them who you are. So I'm really proud of those endorsements. And I think that it speaks well of, considering, it's across the whole spectrum.
And you should be proud because there's some great groups that endorsed you. And our guest has been Ellen Seisler. You and everyone is deputized. You got to go vote on November 7th. And it's your duty as a citizen. And democracy is so important. And as Ellen Seisler said, about the executive, next year we'll elect a governor. Some years we elect a mayor. But, you elect a Congress and a state Senate and a House. But the judiciary is very important. So so we wish you the best. Ellen, what did we leave out? Did we leave anything out?
No. Just, make sure November 7th, please don't forget about the judges. Remember how important we are in our democracy. And I would sincerely appreciate your support. And again, Senator, I am so grateful for this public service that you do for the judge candidates.
Well, you do, you're a great judge. You're a graduate of Temple Law School. I'm going to let the
and
Temple...
my son's there too. You know, tell him that my son.
Oh yeah, and your son, you got to be proud. He's at Temple Law School, and he's a Danny. I've watched him grow, and he was a great student when he was in high school and college, and now you. And Larry have to be so proud that your son Danny is not only in law school, but isn't he the campaign manager for your campaign?
Yes, and he's also an Army veteran at this point.
Right. Tell us, he was in Afghanistan. And he
was. Right. So he's a very serious and earnest, and I love him to death, and I just can't wait till this is over so he's not my boss anymore.
Right. Mothers should always, the sons always have to listen to the mothers, except there's an exception when they're the campaign manager. The mother has to listen to the son. Well, Seisler, I wanted to get you on in October so people know a month away. I'll let the Temple community know. We're going to let the Shari Shamayim community know. And Philadelphia, and then if you go to some of those county dinners, whether it's Montgomery County or Philadelphia County, I'll see you.
I'm all over this.
I know you've been getting all, and that's why you've been endorsed, and that's why you got so much support, because you're a hard worker and you're getting it done.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me as a guest. And I hope you have a lovely weekend.
Have a great weekend, Your Honor. And I get, you got to be going somewhere in the state, right?
I'm going to York County tonight. I'm going to be in Delaware County tomorrow. And I'm going to be in Lebanon County and Center County on Sunday. So, I'm still a full-time judge. So
right.
I have a jury being selected as we speak. So I'm busy.
Exactly. So, Ellen Seisler, thanks. Good luck to you. And people are going to remember your name, and I'm going to remind them before the election. So thanks for joining us, and I look forward to calling you, still Your Honor, but Your Honor not on this Common Pleas Court, but on the Commonwealth Court. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Ellen Seisler. Now, as promised, I have Ruth Hurwitz.
Hey,
Ruth called me a week ago. She said, remind everyone about Meet the Candidates. Ruth's been doing this for 20-some years that I know of, and it's sponsored. There's an activity where we invite all the candidates, whether it's election for mayor, for governor, for judge. Different years, you have different elections, and she's been in charge. Some years I go and assist her this year, because I'm going to say later why I can't be there. I have to, the SAR, Sigma Alpha Rho, they're having their 100th anniversary on that Sunday, the 15th, and I'm involved. I started out before I was a state senator, before I was president of my different classes. I was active in SAR and honored to be the Sigma Rho of my chapter, which meant the president of my chapter. So Ruth Hurwitz, tell us about the candidates night. And Ruth is a prominent attorney. She also graduated Temple Law School, and she does a lot of elder law. Take it away, Ruth Hurwitz. Go ahead.
Hi, Senator Bob. It's Dr. Ruth Corrigan. How are you?
Doing great. We're glad that you could be with us on the radio. And tell us who some of the candidates will be that will come to meet the candidates at Shari Shamayim. That's at Welsh and Varee, and that's next Sunday, October 15th.
Okay, I'll tell you 10 a.m., and it will be at Shari Shamayim,
right.
And it's on Varee Road above Welsh. And you can drive around the back. Don't walk up the high steps if you don't want. Ample parking in the rear. And it's a free brunch, a full lox and bagel lunch. We're at no charge, open to the public. And we expect a lot of candidates. We're looking for those from the district attorney, city controller, and the many, many judges, as Judge Seisler has mentioned, that are running for retention and or running for election to a higher court. So we're looking forward to a great day. The chair for the men's club this year is Paul Kaplan. He's doing a dynamite job lining up all the candidates. And I work not only for the men's club, but for another group called Empty Nesters. And Bob and I have been working on this for years, as he said, over 25 years. But the key thing is the time for the candidates to get up, spend 5 minutes or more talking about themselves and what they're looking for to do for us as their citizens. That's a DA, city controller, that will be from all parties, Democrat, Republican, any other parties that might be interested in getting their message. Our members are from the city and also nearby suburbs. So if we have any that want to speak to us from Bucks, Montgomery County, etc., we'll be glad to meet them and have them come to us. There's no reservations needed for the public. However, we'd like to hear from the candidates. So please call the synagogue 677-1600 so Paul Kraplin will know to put you on the register. All right, now at that time, you'll also be able to get absentee ballots that will be due in a few weeks. And that's good if you can't vote that day because you're incapacitated or you're going to be away. Let's pretend you're Bobby and you had a convention that weekend, November 7th. And if that were to happen, then you could vote by absentee ballot. In addition, you'll also be able to get voter registration forms that would be good for the next voter registration time. It's too late. Today was a deadline to get any new ballots, applications for the November 7th, but you can fill in one. By the way, if you have family members who are 18 years old at this time, or will be by November 7th, please bring them to vote wherever you vote. We love the young kids that get started to vote. If they're going to be 18 by next election, they can register to vote in advance.
Right, and the deadline, Dr. Ruth Hurwitz, the deadline is this Tuesday, October 10th.
We have a few more days. If people still want to change their registration or make a new registration or register for an 18-year-old kid, that's wonderful.
Right. So
okay. Now, remember, it's for all local offices, any national or state offices, in this case the judges, and you'll be able to, each person speaks, they'll be able to wander in the audience, talk to you one-on-one to the community, and you'll be able to meet the people up close and friendly. That's what we like, a large auditorium for the candidates and the community to spend a lot of time together.
Right, and don't forget, as Dr. Ruth Hurwitz mentioned, the phone number if you're a candidate and you want to be there and yet you don't know about it, give us a call at the synagogue, 215-677-1600, and let them know that you could be there. And if you have any questions, you can call that number at 215-677-1600. So, Dr. Ruth, I thank you for sharing this for 25 years. It's been great, and you've had a lot of congressmen, a lot of mayors, district attorneys, justices on the Supreme Court. You get everyone. And that's what we try to do in the radio show. For instance, we've had both candidates, Lawrence Krasner and Beth Grossman, on our show already. And we've had the candidates for auditor, for city controller on, for judges. Today we had Ellen Seisler, and we're going to have Maria McLaughlin. She's another common pleas court judge in Philadelphia who's running for Superior Court. So everyone, not only do you get two votes for Commonwealth Court, but you get four votes for Superior Court because they're going to elect four people. And there's one person will be elected to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. So you get one vote for Supreme Court. So, Ruth Hurwitz, did we leave anything out? Go ahead.
I'll make sure Maria McLaughlin comes to Sherry Shemaya.
She's
got direct connections there. I want to meet with her. And the other thing, I want to shout out to a dear friend of mine, Sheila Saidman, S-A-I-D-M-A-N. She's running for Luzerne County Councilman. Now, I know we don't have too many people in Luzerne County up the Wilkes-Barre area, but if you have any, don't forget to vote for my dear, dear friend, Sheila Saidman. Okay?
Great. And hopefully you're going to hear from Ellen Seisler that she'll be there.
Good.
But if she has a conflict, Ruth, I'm going to deputize her just to mention her candidacy because she's, like you, a graduate of Temple Law School, and you just heard her on the show, and she's been on the
committee. Yes, I campaigned for her 10 years ago. I'm a committee person, as is Paul Kaplan, and we are very good at pushing the important candidates.
Right. Ellen Seisler will be good to push. Hopefully she's going to be at Sherry Shemaim. She tries to make every event, but because it's a big Commonwealth out there, if she doesn't make it, you represent her. And Maria McLaughlin, the same thing. I'm going to find out. I'm going to tell her she should go, that you've invited her. She'll be on in a few minutes. So, Ruth Hurwitz, thanks for what you do for the synagogue. Ruth was in education. That's what we call her, Dr. Ruth. You were a doctor in education, isn't that right?
Yeah, I was a school principal in the vocational schools in Philly, and I went to law school at night.
Right,
it
that's
was wonderful.
That is wonderful. And then you became a lawyer. Now you're doing a lot of elder law things as well as...
Well, wills and estates and probate.
Right, that's great.
True.
Keep up the good work. So, and best to your husband, Alan. So thanks for joining with us today. And I'll remind people next week also, it's October 15th. And next Sunday, 10 a.m. at the auditorium at Sherry Shemayim, which is on Verree Road, just north of Welsh. And as Ruth said, don't park on Verree. You go up the drive and you can park in the parking lot, so you don't have to walk up those 50 steps that they have. So,
and don't forget the free brunch.
Right, it's a free brunch, so it's pretty good. There's no charge, and people, you can bring guests, and it's a way that you can meet the candidates, a way for the candidates to meet the voters. So it's a great service that they provide to the community. So thanks, Dr. Ruth, for being with us, and keep up the good work. And I wish I could be with you on the 15th, but I'm going to, if possible, if I could be at two places at once, I'm going to be there.
Good, Bob. You can do it. Okay,
anyone,
good luck.
Thanks a lot. Anyone you know in SAR, that's they're going to have their 100th anniversary on the 15th, on the same day. Okay.
Where's it going to be?
It's going to be at the Marriott Hotel in Philadelphia. So in Center
City. Enjoy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bless your family, Bob.
Thank you.
Wishing Sherry Shemayim, our congregation.
Right, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, dear.
Okay, thank you so much. So that's Ruth Hurwitz, and that's for any candidate or anyone who wants to meet the candidates. Don't only listen on the radio here. And don't forget, our show is archived. You can get it at WWDBAM anytime. Now, don't forget, at Sunday, the same day, the same time, at the Marriott Hotel, 12th and Market, there's the SAR alumni are going to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Sigma Alpha Rho. In other words, it started in 1917, when Jewish people were excluded from so many mainstream organizations. Philadelphia served as the home of the country's first formal Jewish high school organization, Sigma Alpha Rho. And in that area, when movies cost a nickel, horse carts outnumbered motor trucks, lamp lighting was a steady occupation, indoor plumbing was still a luxury, the Philadelphia area was home to 200,000 Jewish people. There's enormous diversity in the Jewish community, Russians, Romanian, German, Polish. They all resided in different parts of the city, but almost all Jewish people were formally excluded from memberships in clubs, on teams, or other ordinary social organizations. Nowhere was the exclusion more profound than in the Row House neighborhood of West Philadelphia, where in 1917, 11 Jewish high school students, they refused entry in an after-school and extracurricular activities. They banded together to form their own club. They would name this club SAR, S for social, A for athletic, and R for religious, and dedicated to social, athletic, and religious activities, but to developing leadership, organizational, and communication skills, and most of all, having fun, lots of fun. When you were, I was in SAR, and you went to conclaves, and that was, whether it was New Orleans or New York or Atlantic City, you went with your brothers, and you learned what life is all about. You learn some responsibility and leadership. And there were chapters that spawned all over Philadelphia, South Philly, West Philly, North Philly, Port Richmond, Winfield, and eventually Northeast Philadelphia. and they crossed the Delaware into Camden and went to Wilmington, went to Allentown, Scranton, and they went to Brooklyn. And SAR, it was a great organization for the high school students. And it was great to do that because some of these high school students who were in SAR, you could afford to be in SAR, but once you got to college, a lot of them came from poor families. They could not afford to join the AEPIs, the TEPs, the SAMIs of a college campus. So they were working their way through school to go to Penn State or Temple. So they couldn't afford to be in a college fraternity, so their fraternalism all got they got the experience in high school. So if you have any questions about the 100th anniversary, you can call my office, 698-1800, and ask for Bob Rovner or my brother Howard Rovner, or Bruce Allen is there, or Eric Nash. They were all SAR. Howard, for the 75th anniversary, was given an honor. That was 25 years ago. It's hard to believe. So now, 25 years later, they're going to have the 100th anniversary of SAR. So I know Brother Stuart Discount, Brother Jerry Sigel, they were all what you call supreme exalted rulers. That means they were the national presidents of the national fraternity. I told you the presidents were called Sigma Rose. And there's going to be some tours, the National Liberty Museum on Saturday the 14th, and also the American Jewish History Museum. So if you were in SAR and you want to get together with everyone, you could do so next weekend. So as I say, the SAR Supreme Exalted Rulers, there's going to be some optional dinner on Friday night, Poppy's Restaurant, which is 3120 South 20th Street. They're going to have a dinner Friday night. So if you want to know about it, just give us a call. Now, as promised, we are going to endorse Maria McLaughlin. Maria McLaughlin is on the Common Pleas Court of Philadelphia now. She's done such a great job that she was endorsed, and she ran and won for the right to run for Superior Court on the Democrat ticket in November. So November 7th, all Democrats, all Republicans can and should vote for Maria McLaughlin. She's working hard. She's very well qualified. And rather than hear it from me, we had her on in the primary and endorsed her. And because I'm endorsing her in the general election now, for all Republicans and Democrats to vote for her. Your Honor, I thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations for doing such a great job on the family law matters, the criminal law matters, and all matters on the Common Pleas Court. So tell us about the Superior Court, why you're running, and why people should vote for Maria McLaughlin. Take it away, Your Honor.
Thank you so much, and I am so happy to be on here again, and having had the opportunity to run in the primary and come out in first place out of all 10 candidates. So I was very honored and humbled and very proud of that because I really worked very hard. And so everybody seems to be very excited this year about the judicial races, which is also good because it's usually quite a quiet race, as everybody knows. So I am very happy that everybody seems very excited because in today's climate, I think, more than ever, we know how important judges are today. So I am now currently a judge in the Court of Common Pleas. As you said, there are 88 judges in Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas. I am one of only three that preside over two areas of the law, family law and criminal law. So every day I do either custody, support, divorce, or abuse, or I do criminal cases. And the other thing that distinguishes me between any of the other candidates that are in the race is that I have never had any decision overturned. Not one.
That is great, Your Honor. That's very unusual because, so that shows you're doing something right. Maria McLaughlin's our candidate, and she's, you get four votes for Superior Court. You should give her one of your votes because four people will be elected, and she deserves your vote. Take it away, Your Honor, Judge McLaughlin. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I've been traveling the Commonwealth, and I have visited now 65 out of our 67 counties, and this weekend I will be up to 66. So I am working just as hard as I can in addition to presiding over cases every day. So I
know you've been all over because I watch you on PCN, and you're doing a great job. You have had some great interviews. So which county are you going to this weekend to make it 66, and which is the 67th county, the only county you haven't been to yet? Go ahead.
I'm going to Tioga County this weekend.
Great. I know Tioga County. Good.
Yes, and I will be in Greene. It's the only other county that I have not visited. And so, but it's been great. It really has. Besides the 16 pounds that I put on campaigning over the Commonwealth and eating everything, because there have been so many fairs and just every single place that you go, all this delicious food all around the Commonwealth. And coming from Philadelphia, I like to try everything. So besides the 16 pounds, because we're in the car so often also, we put on, I think, over 37,000 miles just since January. I had a new car in January, and so that's how I know how many miles. Before that, we put on probably another 15. So I think people don't realize when you're a statewide candidate just how big our state is. And also remember that I'm still sitting and hearing cases every single day. So we're juggling the campaign and work every day, but not going to start complaining now because this is just 1 month out, and I am excited for November 7th.
Right, and Tioga County is just north of Williamsport. Williamsport's where they have the Little League Baseball World Series, and they have a good...
Yes, I was there.
Right, they have a great... You like good food. So they have a Del Salvo's restaurant in Williamsport. It reminds me of a good Italian restaurant in South Philadelphia. So if you ever go to Williamsport, you don't have time now, but after... their campaign. Judge McLaughlin is our guest, and she gets four votes. And tell us, Your Honor, where did you go to college? Where did you go to law school? Go ahead.
So I went to Penn State undergrad. I was a Penn State cheerleader, so I'm also going to be in Center County this weekend in State College. So Great. That's always a big plus when I go to Penn State and give my background there. And then I went on to Widener Law School in Delaware. So I was honored to go to both of those schools. They were great institutions in Penn State. If I didn't have a partial cheerleading scholarship, I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to college.
So great. And you have a great story because you're a hard worker and you weren't sure whether you were going to run for Common Pleas Court. But then your mother, she took out the petition and said, run, and you lost your dad when he was younger, so you wanted to listen to your mom. I think that's a great story. You may want to mention that.
Yeah, so look, when everybody asks me who are my role models, I always say I don't have to look much further than my home. And Bob, you knew both of my parents. You
right.
know both of my parents. And my father, my mom was a widow at just 55 years old. And now that I'm 51, I realize how young that truly is. And so she was a 55-year-old widow and then diagnosed with cancer, you know, 5-6 years after that, and she's been battling ever since. And so when I was a single mom of two boys and then I had my mom with cancer, I just said, maybe it's just not my time. And so unbeknownst to me, my mother stood up at Rittenhouse Park with no hair on her head, going through chemotherapy, and got me all the signatures I needed in 1 weekend to get on the ballot for Court of Common Pleas. So that's why I say no one has to understand or realize where I look any further than my mother, who is my role model, my inspiration every single day, and she's still here.
And give your mom our best wishes for a great, healthy, speedy recovery. And your dad was a great man. I knew your dad, and he liked your mom and dad both liked the oldies like I do, like the music from the 50s and 60s. So I had that in common with both of them. So that's why you're special to me when you ran for Common Pleas Court. I wanted you to win because I knew you'd be a great job. I knew your parents, and now you've really excelled in this. There were 10 people that were running. You came out number one, and now you're going to, I predict you will get elected to Superior Court, but I want to endorse you today, and I'm asking everyone, no matter what county they're in, because here we have people from Delaware County, from Philadelphia County, from Bucks, from Montgomery, Chester County. They all hear us, and the show will be repeated on 610 on Sunday morning, 11 to 12, and then it'll be repeated about seven times during the week on WWDB, where they can get it on the website. And Maria McLaughlin, who does a great job in the first judicial district, that's Philadelphia, she deserves your support so she could go to Superior Court, so Philadelphia could be well represented on the Superior Court. And it's a busy court. In other words, Superior Court is probably the busiest appellate court in the nation, because anyone who appeals from all 67 counties, their common pleas court hearing, it goes to Superior Court. Isn't that right?
It does. There's over 8,000 appeals every year. It is the busiest appellate court in our nation, and every case that's criminal, civil, or family goes to the Superior Court. So I also think, you know, when you consider all the candidates' backgrounds, considering the fact that I do come from the largest judicial district, it is a good plus when you're coming from a caseload that we have in Philadelphia to a caseload that you're going to have like that statewide. I think it's a good transition. Somebody who's ready to handle all those cases. That's what I do each and every day. Additionally, as a single mom, I think that gives me a heads up too, because I am used to multitasking. So I am ready to take on this task of the Superior Court and its caseload.
Right. And today, Your Honor, we endorsed two of our favorite candidates for appellate courts. I endorsed you, who became number one for Superior Court, and Ellen Seisler, who ran and became number one for Commonwealth Court. So we had the two number one people. So before anyone votes for anyone else, they should vote for Maria McLaughlin, Ellen Seisler. And the yes votes are important, the retention votes. Retention was put on if somebody does something bad, then they could be thrown off the bench. But this year, the judges that are running, none of them have been in any trouble. So whether it's Supreme Court or Superior Court or Commonwealth or Common Pleas Court, people should vote yes for retention. Your Honor, do you know, I know there's two people running for Supreme Court, for Superior and Commonwealth Court. Are there anyone's running for retentions? I'm not even sure.
I think there's one judge, Republican Judge Shokin, who is running for retention in the Superior Court, and she's a fine jurist.
Right.
And for Supreme Court, we have Justice Todd. So Justice Todd is going to be our first ever female Chief Justice of our Pennsylvania Supreme Court. After over 300 years of having a Supreme Court without a female as its chief, I think it's about time.
It is.
We definitely have to vote yes for her.
Definitely yes for Deborah Todd. And the Chief Justice, Saylor, he's
there.
Oh,
he's a wonderful jurist as well.
Right, he'll get a yes
Justice
vote.
Saylor is wonderful. And I think that he should remain our chief until Justice Todd takes over.
Exactly.
But he is a wonderful gentleman as well and a great jurist. And we're so lucky to have him, you know, at the helm of our Supreme Court. So I think both of those justices should get a yes.
Right. So our guest has been Maria McLaughlin. She's very active. She's currently Vice President Nick Cipriani Family Law, American Inn of Court. She's on numerous, she's appeared on many panels throughout the state, lectured for the Philadelphia Bar Association, Delaware County Bar Association, Pennsylvania Trial Lawyers Association, Pennsylvania Bar Institute. She's appeared on many, as a guest on local television and radio shows, and she is really an expert in family law, criminal law, so we need her on the Superior Court. Your Honor, what did we leave out? Take it away.
Well, I also started off my career clerking for the president judge of the Superior Court, and that was a Republican judge, Vincent Cirillo. So I think also when you look at the background, my background, and you look at my endorsements, I have the most labor support of any candidate statewide, but I also have such a variety and different endorsements. I am the only Democrat for Superior Court that the state troopers endorsed. That's a really big endorsement for a Democrat. And
it
I'm
is.
Proud of
it. Congratulate you for that.
And it's because of my law enforcement background. And I'm also proud to have each and every labor organization having my back. That means the world to me. The state firefighters, the state FOP, these are all endorsements that mean the world to me. I am fighting just as hard for each and every one of them, the National Association of Women Judges. I have more LGBT support than any other statewide candidate. These endorsements I carry with honor, and I'm fighting just as hard for each and every one of these organizations that have put their trust in me as I am for myself.
Right, and I know Governor Rendell's been the chairman of your campaign, doing a great job.
Yes.
And your website is McLaughlin4SuperiorCourt.com, is that right?
That's correct.
Right, so people can go to McLaughlin4SuperiorCourt.com, and you can see some of the pictures. You can see Maria McLaughlin's background, and she's been a fantastic judge, and she deserves to be on the Superior Court, and I think you will be. So it's on November 7th only, and we'll see you at the different county, whether it's Montgomery County or Bucks or Philadelphia County. That'll be the climax of all the campaigns, because there'll be probably over 1,000 people will be there, and there'll be like a little army deputized to help you out. And Your Honor, if you're going, there is a candidate's brunch next Sunday, Shari Shemayim Synagogue in the
yes.
Northeast, that you may go there. If you don't go, I told people to represent you there, but if you could go, they asked me to find out if you're going to go. I told them if you can, you will.
I am trying my best to go to that synagogue, especially because John is a member of that synagogue.
Right.
My husband, and now we are members downtown at Mikveh Israel since we moved down here to be close with my mother. But I am really looking forward to it and doing everything I can in my schedule to make sure that I am there. And if not, I do have a member of that synagogue, an attorney, who's willing to be my surrogate. But I'm hoping to be there in person.
Great, because they're going to all support you. They know Jonathan Seidel. So thanks, Judge McLaughlin. Thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Good luck, and we'll remind the voters. We'll see you along the campaign trail. So
grateful for all your support.
Thank you, and good luck, and you're going to win. And I want to thank all of you for listening today and every Friday and Sunday and during the week to Bob Rovner Talks of the Stars. This is Bob Rovner. Thanks to Walt Schwank. Give him a call, 856-988-2522. Wells Fargo Financial Advisors. And thanks to Ron Schwartz, Colonial Nissan. And thanks to our law office, Rovner, Allen, Rovner, Zimmerman, and Nash. Thank you, Hannah, for getting me the guest, and I hope you're feeling better. Take care, everyone, and have a great weekend.